This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Kalpuna Akhtar, a garment worker in Bangladesh since she was 12 years old, faces myriad criminal charges for organizing for labor rights in the garment industry, and while she mourns brother labor activists who have been tortured and others who have been assassinated, she is unrelenting in her organizing against the conditions that led to the deaths and critical injuries of hundreds of Bangladeshi garment workers recently in a horrifying fire.
Akhtar discusses the safety risks, poverty, wages, abusive treatment, unsafe conditions faced by workers who sew the clothes we wear, along with the government's campaign of terror against labor rights activists. Akhtar places squarely before us the question of why Bangladeshi workers have to die sewing cheap clothing.
Indeed. While Bangladeshi workers have to die sewing cheap clothing, while the brands Walmart, H&M, Gap, and Disney make millions and avoid responsibility for the conditions that resulted in the fiery deaths and compensating the victims of the terrifying blaze. Now we talk with Kalpuna Akhtar with the Bangladesh Center for Workers Solidarity. If we could begin by looking at the severity of the fire and the circumstances of the fire that resulted in so many deaths and so many injuries at the garment plant in Bangladesh. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This fire tragedy in the garment factory in Bangladesh, the factory name is Tajreen Fashions. This company produces for the Western brand, like Walmart, Disney, Sears, Cake, C&A, and other renowned companies. I wanted to describe how this fire happened. I was in the ground 1 hour after when fire broke in the factory. I had chance to speak some of the workers who survived from that fire. The workers told me that it was quarter to 7 in the evening when they hear the fire alarm and workers got panicked to get out from the factory. They were ran to the staircase, but mid-management prevented them to go and forced them back to their work and said, nothing happened. It is just rumor. There is no fire. It is a regular fire alarm for fire drill, so you don't need to panic. And they shouted to them. So workers went back to their work. Few of them did not listen to mid-management and ran to the staircase and went ground and found there is a smoke and fire in the ground floor. And then this ran from the factory. Others, most of the workers, had to go back to their work. As workers said, 15 to 20 minutes later, they experienced the smoke in their floor. Then they saw the smoke coming from the downstairs. Then they were sent to a staircase again to save their life and found that staircase already caught fire. Then they went back to the production floor. Meanwhile, the power gone, so there wasn't any light. Workers got panicked. They were crying, shouting, shaking, asking for help. And the neighbors, they started to come to the factory. But meanwhile, when workers were presented by the management, few management also closed 2-3 emergency doors, locked the doors, so workers couldn't go out. A few workers, they ran to the windows, but in the window, it is an iron grill, so it was very hard for them to break those windows. One female worker stated that she went to the staircase and went up to first floor and found the fire caught in the staircase. Then she came back to the first floor where she saw that the men's worker, they're trying to break the windows. She said after a long time, the men workers were trying and trying hard to break those windows. Then after 30 or 40 minutes, maybe they were able to break the window. And then those workers started to jumping next to the rooftop of houses. And in the east side of factory, as factory was under construction, so there was bamboo scaffolding. So the workers was getting help through those bamboos to getting down. So very few numbers of workers was able to go through the staircase to escape. I was there in 4 hours or more in the ground. I was there more 4 hours, and we did not hear any screaming from the workers or any shout asking for help. So I hear that I saw one body of one female worker, and we hear the total number of dead is 9 persons up to 1 p.m. in the midnight of Saturday. But even in myself, I thought our workers are really lucky that they were able to escape. This is only 9 persons, and many of them injured. And next morning, early in the morning, maybe 3, our ground staff in that area was calling, and workers was calling that there is many, many workers' bodies in the factory area, and they're looking for their siblings because many of them not gone back to the house, and many they have checked with the hospital. So those siblings or father or mother or sister not in the hospital. Then I went to the ground again, and what I found that really shocked and stunned me, as well as whole nation, that the first it is like 77 bodies found, then other bodies being found in the production floors. So the total number became 112 by 10 in the morning. It was really, really shocking. And those workers have been killed because the staircase ended in the ground floor where they made it a warehouse where piles of fabrics and yarn as a storing. But, you know, as per the law and rules, they cannot put the piles of fabrics and cartoon or yarn in that area. But the company did it. They were prevented by the mid-management to escaping from the factory, and the doors was locked. And that is why this huge number of death toll happened. And rest of the factory workers surrounding and in that area, and even in other industrial buildings across the country, they are in fear. Now, if they hear any fire volume or any shouting anywhere, that just hear about fire, then workers get panicked and they just ran to the stairs. And many of them stepped. But still, these factories are not safe for our workers to work. And defeated families, they are in a vulnerable condition because many siblings work together. Like in one family, the boy, he lost his parents and brother and sister-in-law. So from one family, 4 persons gone. And they did not even identify the bodies because it was just burned. In another family, I found the 8-year-old daughter lost her both parents and mother, and they couldn't identify the bodies. So total official number is 111, though workers are not agree with this death toll. They wanted to say that it is more than these. About 53 bodies we identified that whom they belong to.
Talpona, in the aftermath of this tragedy, I know there have been a number of worker protests throughout Bangladesh. If you could talk about those protests and what the demands of the workers are.
After that fire, there is a huge protest in that factory area and other places in other industrial belts in across the country. The demands from this protest, the factory owner should be arrested and punished because the factory wasn't safe for workers, wasn't complying with all the fire safety, and the work, though there was a lot of equipment, fire extinguishers, but workers wasn't trained to use them. Second, the deceased family have to pay, compensate for their loss and emotional, they lost their family. So the demand has come that each worker should be paid $40,000. This is for disabled family, and workers who injured for their lifetime, they should also pay $40,000. And other workers who injured less than them, those workers should be compensated during their medical treatment, and their medical treatment need to be 100% paid by the factory, government, and the banks. Then third demand is that every factory emergency exit and normal exit have to be open all the time when workers working in the factory. There should be frequent fire drills and at least 30% workers should be trained for firefighting. And last is more than 1,000 workers was used to work for Transdream before it got fired. So those workers should be paid their severances so they can survive these days until they get a new job in other factory. So this is the demand for, but there is no commitment from the factory owners yet on any of them, and the Garment Manufacturers Association had committed that they will form a task force and will do the fire drill and look after the factories to keep exit open, and they have all fire extinguishers. But there is no commitment having made by anyone regarding pay that $40,000 to the seeded family or lifetime injured workers.
Kalpona, if you could also elaborate on your own background in the garment industry, I think that tells a story of what garment workers face and the organizing that they are going through to deal with these ultimately tragic situations that the workers faced pursuant to the fire and other conditions. So tell us about yourself.
I'm a former garment worker. Moreover, I was a child worker. I started working in the garment factory when I was 12 years old. I had to go to the factory because my parents couldn't send me to the school. My mom also working with me during those days, and she worked like 8 months, and she has an infant. My younger sister was so little, so she had to quit. Then my 10-year-old brother and me, we were working in the factory to run our family with that little money. My first salary was $3 for per month for 208 hours work in a month. I had to work long working shift, 14-hour shift, which is very common. I have been worked 23 days in a row. So by working these long shifts, I used to get a very little amount for the overtime pay, which was $1.50 or $2 maximum. In terms of the safe working place or occupational health and safety, we had nothing. We hadn't had any fire extinguisher in my factory where I used to work. Even once the factory fire broke in the factory, many workers stabbed. And it was a common case, like even today, when fire broke in the factory, the production managers came and locked the door from outside. So we were screaming and shaking help from outside people. So another manager came and he opened the gate. But many workers stayed in the staircase because there was a pile of merchandise in the staircase. So barely one person can go easily in that tiny place. But luckily, I wasn't injured. I could go out from the factory without injury. And after that, nothing changed. No fire extinguisher has put in the factory, no fire drill. So that was in those days. And there wasn't any, we haven't had any primary health equipment in the factory. Our supervisor used to slap us for any minor mistake, and they used to verbally abuse us for work hurry, do give more production. There was excessive production. And we hadn't had any boys in the factory, union boys. When I learned the labor law after working 5 years in the factory, before that I hadn't had any idea there is a law for the workers in the country that which can give us a safeguard and which can give us more pay. But these manufacturers used to not follow that law, not even today. When I learned the labor law, I started to organizing workers in my factory and organized, signed the union form and submitted to the government office for union recognition. But the government office took bribe from the factory owner and rejected our union application. Later, I had fired from factory without paying severances and blacklisted to the other factories by the Factory Owners Association. I couldn't get a job anywhere. And the union where I learned the law they appoint me as a labor educator and union organizer. So then I started to educate other workers about their rights, law, and union voice. I started organizing them. So in compared to my working period and today, the most changes became, they changed the factory construction. They built a new factory, which just looks good from the outside. But inside, the conditions is same. Still, workers are being verbally and physically abusing by the management. Workers are beaten, threatened, and fired when they try to organize themselves in the factory or try to raise their voice for their demands, for their rights. And still, there is a fire accident. I would say the safety measures or safety standards or fire safety issues gone worse than my working time. So in considering my time, the safety standards gone worse than that time. And in other hand, these factories are saying these days that they are compliant. They are compliant as per Western brand's code of conduct. But I would say that this compliance, whatever they mean that their factory is compliant, it is just only in the document, not in the practice. Even we haven't had any good factories. Yes, we have. We have good factories, which is like international standard factories. But the number is very, very few. It is less than 1%. So that really doesn't mean that the whole industry is compliant by the law or by the international brand's code of conduct. And why these factories are not being following the country's law and rules? Because they are so powerful. These manufacturers, they think that they are earning 80% of foreign currency for the country, so they are the powerful one. They can do anything they want. And more challenging is, in our parliament, we have 300 members, whom 85% of them are businessmen, and among these 300, 10% of them who directly own group of garment factories. So our legislator is our factory owners.
Building Bridges continues its conversation with Kalpuna Akda from the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity.
Kalpuna, I just wanted to ask you what the current situation is among the union movement among garment workers in Bangladesh and the response by the employers and the government.
Our organization is facing a lot of problems. The Center for Worker Solidarity, which is working very closely with the National Federation called Bangladesh Garment and Industrial Workers Federation, we are working together to support in worker voice. We are facing a lot of problems since 2010. The Bangladeshi government revoked our NGO registration, which collapsed our funds. Later, our government arrested one of my colleagues named Aminul Islam and tortured him in their custody without any legal complaint. During that time, there was a massive voice raised from the workers to review the minimum wage. The minimum wage was $23 per month, and workers was asking for $71. But the Bangladesh, our government has declared it is $37. And workers, they did not agree. They came into the street and doing the protest. Because of that protest, the government has filed different criminal cases against us, saying that we are the instigator of this unrest. And they are saying it was a violence. That is why we have been charged in those cases. So myself, I'm facing 7 cases, and my colleague from BGIW, Bangladesh Garment and Industrial Workers Federation, he's facing 8 cases. And other colleague I named, Aminul Islam, he was facing 4 cases. Me and my colleague, Babul, was arrested and was in jail for a month. 7 days we were in the interrogation cell. I was interrogated 18 hours in a row, and my colleague, Babul, he was severely beaten in the police custody. Because of tremendous international pressure from Western countries, like in U.S., we are working with union and labor advocate groups like International Labor Rights Forum, Worker Rights Consortium, Solidarity Center, AFL-CIO, Sweat Free Purchasing Consortium, and in the Europe, we are working with Green Clothes Campaign. Those folks how to do a letter campaign. So many 100,000 letters came from consumers to our governments to release us. And there also letter came from U.S. Congress. 21 congressmen signed and sent a letter to our government to release us from jail. We release on bail, but still we're facing all those criminal charges. By doing these with us, our government and factory owners did not stop. In the beginning of 2012, they killed my colleague, Aminul Islam, who was arrested and tortured in back 2010. Aminul Islam was working in one of our center, and in the evening, one of the NSI, which is National Security Intelligence, their source came into our office and took Aminul for saying to help his personal matter. And after there, Aminul has not been seen anywhere. So he disappeared. And next morning, his body has found 100 kilometers not from the place where Aminul disappeared. So none of the perpetrators has arrested yet who killed my colleague. So this is the harassment, intimidation that we are facing, being supporting workers' voice and union organized in Bangladesh.
Tell us the companies also in the U.S. that are the retailers and suppliers who take no responsibility for these conditions.
The largest buyer is Walmart. Walmart is the first retailer who buy most clothes from Bangladesh, and second is H&M from Europe. And then we have Gap, we have Jesse Tinney, we have Marks & Spencer, we have Philips Van Hoensen, Disney, we have many other European brands. All these Western brands who source from Bangladesh and by paying in very, very little amount of money. Because the Bangladeshi garment workers are low-paid workers in the world, which is 11 cents an hour. So these Western brands, all of them, the retailers and brands and the companies, they have their very good code of conduct where they are saying these workers have to be paid decent way. These workers would have safe working place. It says there would not be any discrimination between workers, saying that the workers would get their workers will be free to form union and many other things. But those are not enforced because these Western brands, retailers and companies, they have their auditors who audit the factory, whether this factory meets with their code of conduct. But all these audits are announced. So the factory management get enough time to coach to the workers on what to say. So the truth never come out. To change these conditions and circumstances, what the consumers could do? Consumers can play a very, very important role. My urge to the Western consumers would be to see a label which is made in Bangladesh. Don't think that 112 workers killed, so I shouldn't buy. Don't think that. Please buy, but buy with responsibility. When you buy, please make these brands accountable. Ask them that you want to know more about these workers who making clothes for you. Maybe many of you are thinking that your one voice will be not make big change, but trust me, it will, because many of them you are listening this. So one, it can come to five. So if you tell your five more friends, then it will become 10. 10 boys really make more sound. So please buy our clothes to need a job. But please remember, we need this job with dignity. What I mean, we need this job where we have decent wage, where we have a working place and our union boys. Without this, we cannot survive anymore. It is enough accident we have seen. We don't want any more accident. So you people can follow the organization whom we working with, those who are helping our workers to have those rights. Those are International Labor Rights Forum, Worker Rights Consortium, Solidarity Center, AFL-CIO, Red Sea Purchasing Consortium. Follow them, and they have a lot of letter campaigns. So please find those letters and send it to these Western companies and ask them to do better for our workers, to practice the code of conduct, not in the documents, to in real practice. That really can make change. In considering the current circumstances of tragic fire, in this moment, we really need your support. We need compensation for these defeated workers and injured workers and survivors. These Western brands also responsible who were sourcing this factory, and one of them are big retailer from US, which is Walmart. So please tell Walmart to pay the workers' compensation. And we are demanding the Walmart and other brands who were sourcing from this factory, they should pay $6 million to cover the workers' medical defeated families' compensation and survival workers' counseling. So the Walmart should take responsibility and do the coordinating with other brands who were sourcing from this factory and pay these compensation to our workers. Your voice will be needed, and that will be very effective. Please follow those organizations who are working from U.S. to support this demand and to get this money to the workers. And also, please raise your voice to tell these Western brands to sign the fire safety MOU, which will make our workers' workplace safe in future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're again.
Excellent organizing work. We really are with you 100%.
You are fantastic.
you really are
so courageous and such a brilliant organizer, and you present the issues with such passion and conviction. I admire you tremendously, and I really thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I hope we can be of some use by communicating this information to our listeners, so the pressure is put on the companies here to demand that the working conditions of the people in Bangladesh improve dramatically.